We're continuing with our Shiurim in the Maharal, and we're talking today about what is, I believe, one of the more fundamental questions that one can attempt to understand about what we do daily, and that is how davening works. I want to try to understand a little bit that there's an element to tefillah that is odd, in particular the notion of us davening to Hashem to give us things or to change things or to provide for us. There is something a little bit odd about that. I want to first go through the questions, and then I want a brief hakdamah to tefillah, and we'll try to develop three or so mahalchim. The question that's asked in the Maharal and the Sefer Avoda, Maharal when he speaks about tefillah, it's a question asked in the Sefer HaYikarim. Sefer HaYikarim is of Yosef Albo, one of the last great classic machshava svarim written in medieval times, written from the Rishonim. It's a classic of machshava, and he asks a very basic question. It's a question that if we've ever thought about probably strikes us as a powerful kind of a question. If I deserve something, so I believe the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give it to me. If I don't deserve something, so then God will not give it to me. If I am ra'oi, as an example, for a certain amount of money, so then God will give me that money. And if the Ribbono Shel Olam determines that I am not zocha, I am not worthy for that money, then he won't give me that money. So why am I davening? What is the purpose and function of davening? Isn't it already clear that whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam determines I should get, that's what I'm going to get? Let's say as an example, so it gives Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah things are determined for us as to what we're going to have or not going to have. So why am I davening to attempt to alter that? That's number one. It almost seems like, I believe the way that some Hasidim say it, it almost seems like davening, built into davening, is a little bit of chutzpah. That God already determined you're not going to get it. God determined that right now you, let's say, as an example, have not yet met the girl that you're going to marry. And I come along and I say, but Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm like, can you change that, please? Can you please have it be that, you know, it's going to happen? Just what exactly, how does davening work? Why is it logical? Or what's its purpose and function? How does it make sense within the larger scheme of things? We believe that God appropriately gives to us that which we need and that which we deserve. Let's say it differently. If I don't get something, sorry, my voice is a little bit, not my normal voice. If I don't get something, so then either I don't deserve it, or maybe it's an onus, and it's an onus which is beneficial for me. Then now I'm going to be getting a kapara for something and the like. So, there are cheshbonos here, so who am I to say, you know, this is what I want and this is what I need? The Maharal asks an additional question, which is an important one, which is why is it important to verbalize davening? Why all the words? Why all the need to move your lips? How does that fit into any of this also? Just the core part of davening, even davening, tefillah belachash, so we are not, or at least the majority of us in the Beis Medrash, are not Karliner Chassidim who yell throughout different sections of davening. Majority of us. And for us, we daven, but even us who daven in a bit of a quieter way, we still verbalize our tefillah. Why is that significant and why is that important? All of this gets to a core question as to how does tefillah work, in particular regarding our bakashos, those things that we daven for and those things that we ask for. That's a question which comes up in certain sections of Shemona Esrei, where we're actually davening explicitly for refuah, for parnasa, for geula. It comes up if you are, if you have certain influences. We would identify most with Rabbi Nachman, but some of us identify with, more classical Balei Machshava. But if you're a believer in what Rabbi Nachman spoke as far as his bodedus, of certain kinds of davening not in the context of tefillah, or if Brez doesn't do it for you, so the Brisker Rav used to utter short tefillahs all the time, throughout the, when things would come up to utter a short tefillah. So part of the question is, what are you doing? Like, what is that going to be able to do? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that davening is gezar dino, that davening has the ability to be gozer, to be korea, to rip a gezar din. But how does that work? Davening is very, very powerful. But how does that work when I'm asking for things? What's the svara there? That's a question that we want to deal with. It is, in my mind, I want to say two things about the question. The question is, from a machshava perspective, exceptionally important. I happen to think it has the potential to change the way that we daven and what our orientation is when we're davening. It has the ability to do so, at least for some of the answers. Let's give a little bit of a hakdama to tefillah in general before we actually approach the answers. Just mamish, like 3 or 4 minutes, to be able to understand a little bit of davening. Where does davening come from? Torah tells us, Vayam Shamoa, second paragraph of Kriya Shema, refers to something called L'avdo b'chol l'vavchem, that we should worship God with all of our heart. The Gemara in Tanis and Daf Beis tells us, Ezi avodah shebelev, what is worship of the heart, avodah shebelev? Hevi omer z'tfila. That's a reference to davening. Many of us may be familiar with the Machlokes HaRishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam maintains that is a din d'oraisa. Tefillah every day is a din d'oraisa, avodah shebelev. You have to engage in a kind of tefillah every day. The Ramban, now there's one thing that's famous at the Ramban, but the Ramban himself, pashtus, davening is not d'oraisa every single day, says the Ramban, pashtus. Avodah shebelev does not really refer to tefillah. It's an asmachta ba'alma. There's no real biblical requirement to daven all the time. The Ramban does raise the possibility, other Rishonim have it even more explicitly, I believe. The Ramban raised the possibility that maybe davening be'es tzara, davening in times of need, so that is d'oraisa. Salvechik famously suggested that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban is a fascinating one. We spoke a bunch of years ago in the Shiur Menefesh HaChayim, I think 5 years ago. We spoke about other mahalchim in this machlokas, Apitaris Machshava. I'll reference one of them now to set the stage for appreciating why this is so important, the question we're dealing with. The Rav suggested that the Rambam and the Ramban both agree that davening at its core, mid oraisa, is the response to eis tzara. That when Klal Yisrael is going through a time of tzara, for some, even individuals are going through times of tzara, that the mid oraisa response is davening. The Ramban understand that tefillah be'eis tzara is something which takes place in very limited time periods. The Rav suggested that the Rambam argues also davening's a reaction to eis tzara, but it takes place every single day. Because man really has the capacity to understand the extent to which he depends on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that man constantly lives in a certain sense of eis tzara, a certain kind of dependency on the Ribbono Shel Olam, where I always feel like I need to turn to God as a result of a certain kind of tzara that I am experiencing. According to Salvechik, mida oraisa tefila, not only for the Ramban, smak, but even for the Rambam, is a response to eis tzara. What we want to understand is how does all of that work? What is the purpose of it? What exactly does davening accomplish? The Ribbono Shel Olam already decreed that there's going to be a tzara, and my davening has the ability to change that. We're not questioning that your davening has the ability to change that. That the Gemara tells us that tefillah has the capacity to tear apart a gzar din. The Gemara in Brachos tells us with Chizkiyo, afilu cherev chad munachas al tzavarecha, even if you have a sword that is resting on your neck, al yimna atzmo min harachamim, that you should not refrain from davening. The Bialy Rebbe, the Mevaser Tov, I'm a big fan of his farm, I don't want to quote it that much. Mevaser Tov is Bialy Rebbe of Switzerland. A wild life story. I don't know if this in a while. I'm very inspired by this. He was a kid, his father, Chalkas Yoshua, so he's a survivor of the Holocaust. He escaped with his sister, the Mevaser Tov. He escaped with his sister, I think they went through Siberia. They ended up all the way in Iran as children, around the time of the Holocaust. There was, at the time, there were a bunch of secular Zionists that were traveling. I believe this is how it goes. Through Iran on the way to Eretz Yisrael, they saw these two Jewish kids that were there, and they brought them with them to Eretz Yisrael. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, the Panavizhar Rav notices, I guess, these two Chassidish kids with the secular Zionists and says, something's up. And the Panavizhar Rav is able to reunite the Mevaser Tov with his father, the Chalkos Yoshua. Mevaser Tov wrote a lot of different Svarim, and those Svarim, do I have them? I think I brought them home, yeah. Those Sfarim, he put out an edition of the Siddur and Tehillim called Chalkas Yehoshua in honor of his father. In the Tehillim, the Tehillim he put out, Kohal Kedushah, he opens up with a mimer, where he talks about the power of tefillah. And when he speaks about the power of tefillah, he writes that there are those who are medayik, I think he attributed to the Michas Chinach, that when the Gemara says, afilu cheref chad munachas al tzavarecha, that there's a sword resting on your neck, you can only daven when the sword is on your neck, but not when it's bitzavarecha. If they've already started cutting your neck, at that point in time, it's too late to daven, and at that point in time, the daven is a tefillah shav, based on the Yerushalmi, based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos. He suggests a lot of the purpose of his mimer, based on Rishonim and the like, is to make the argument that a person can always daven, irrespective, even if the cherev is bitzavarecha, even if that sword is inside your neck. A person can always daven, you can always turn to Ribono Sholem. But l'chora, the Gezar Din's already been there. And l'chora, the Ribono Sholem determined that's what I deserve. So what exactly am I davening for? What is my davening here to accomplish? I'm going to make highlight three mahalchim. The first is going to be a Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif, I don't think, is going to be as, at least for me, is not as impactful as the other two, the Sefer Yikarim and the Maral. But I believe this stuff is so, so important. Tosfos Yontif, we know, is a Talmud of the Maral. The Talmud of the Maral. We're starting with him first, so we're out of chronological order. We're starting with him because, again, I think in terms of building, I think in a certain sense it's at least fundamental. The Tosfos Yontif writes like this. We spoke last year in the Shiurim and the Ramban about Hashgacha Pratis, Bitach on Hishtadlut and the like, that the Bali HaTosfos and Masech Shabbos and Moikatan have a Kasha. The Kasha is that we know there are Mazalos. Mazalos are certain like Kochos out there in the world. That's not a good definition. There are certain forces, maybe nature, out there in the world that determine what's going to happen. And the Gemara says that sometimes, Klal Yisrael, you have to know, you have to be able to know that we are also impacted by mazalos. We're impacted by what happens, by the nature of the world. But the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Ein mazal Yisrael. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, this is another topic. In other, it's where a lot of the Mefarshim asked the question, because the Gemara tells us in other, it's time of good mazal. But already the Gemara says, Ein mazal Yisrael. That Klal Yisrael is beyond mazalos. We're not determined. Nature does not determine what happens to us. So the Bali HaTosfos offer the following suggestion. Say the Bali HaTosfos, there are certain things that can change mazal. Zechus gadol. If you have an incredible zechus, sometimes that can change your mazal. Sometimes, though, says Tosfos, or say Tosfos, if you're like a real, want to be correct as far as the grammar goes. Sometimes, says Tosfos, if you want to be incorrect, that Zuchus Gadol does not change your mazel. Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. Says Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif in Kiddushin, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yudalet. What am I davening for? What am I davening for? Hare, it's already determined what's going to happen to me. So says Tosfos Yontif, no. A lot of what happens to us is a function also of mazel. It's a function of, here we don't mean luck, we mean nature. What's going to happen? We have to do our best to have good zchuyos. We have to do our best to be worthy of things. What is the purpose of tefillah? The purpose of tefillah is to ask the Ribono Shel Olam that our good zechuyos should change the mazel. That our good zechuyos should change the mazel. Now, in a certain sense, he does answer the question. He's saying that if we already determined that we deserve this, this is what we should get. And he's essentially answering, I think, that it's not always as predetermined as you think. There's something called nature there. And what I'm davening to Ribono Shel Olam is that my zechuyos should overpower nature. That's a mahalach. It doesn't necessarily give us the same kind of insight in terms of what tefillah is. Tefillah is me asking Ribono Shel Olam to change things. That's how we understand it b'pashtus. I'm saying to Hashem, can you please change things? Just, how does it work? Hashem already decided. The answer is, no, certain things are left to mazel. And I have the ability to now daven to Hashem, can you change nature in order for it to work? Can you change the mazalos in order for it to work? Rabbeinu Bechai writes in Karakamach that tefillah has the ability to change nature. The two next answers, I think, are more fundamental in a certain sense, and they're more famous, and they're so important. The Sefer HaYikarim. One of the nice things about when I was in America is that sometimes, though not always, my trip coincides with the YU Sfarim sale. Happens to be that one of the things I enjoy, there are some, everyone has like bonding, you know, you have like bonding with parents sometimes. So my bonding with my father surrounds Sfarim stores. That is our other things also. You know, as a kid, it would involve me watching football, him falling asleep on the couch. But as, you know, playing ball, certainly when I was, like, younger, it's been a while since we've had a one-on-one. I don't think he can back me down the same way anymore. Not the tallest family in the world. But farm store, I spend a lot of time with my father and brother, and I absolutely love it. I grew up in a house with a lot of Sfarim, and it's something which is, so usually, it's been years I've been able to go to the YS farm sale with my father. I was not able to go this year either, because it didn't work out timing-wise. But for me to be able to go myself is very nice. I bought a Sefer, YU just put out a book, the Strauss Center, on different people writing about the significance of classic works of Jewish philosophy. So I was reading an article about the Sefer HaYikarim. Before reading the article, I think I knew one or two things about Sefer HaYikarim, and now I probably know at least four or five things about Sefer HaYikarim. Not that much, but the article was very nice. Sefer HaYikarim is a reference before of Yosef Albo. It's a very, very important Sefer of Machshava, one of the last classic Sfarim of Machshava published in the times of the Rishonim. So like Chovas HaLevavos and Mor Nevuchim, and again earlier, you know, Sadia Gaon, and things like that. So one of the real classics is Sefer HaYikarim. The most famous discussion, I think, usually when Sefer HaYikarim comes up, is either the one we're about to quote, or that he argues with the Rambam about Yugimel Ikarim. He maintains there are really three Ikarim. He maintains there are really three Ikarim instead of 13. Okay. Sefer HaYikarim has an amazing chiddush. I happen to think it has the ability to change a little bit the way that we relate to davening. He said, I don't get it at all. Im nigzar ein tzarech tefila, v'im lo nigzar eich tol ha-tefila. Just two directions. What does tefillah accomplish? It's not going to help me get something good, because if God determines I'll get something good, he'll give it to me anyway. And if God determines I'm not going to get anything good, so why am I davening? What exactly is it going to accomplish? So he suggests the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam makes gezeros. What is the purpose of davening? Davening changes me. Davening changes me. Davening is not changing the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. God's will, I'm not going to suddenly switch things. God's going to change where I'm located, and based on where I'm located, that therefore I will be zocha or not zocha for certain things. Says Eber Karm as follows. God determines that your field is going to, as a mashal, that your field is going to produce an enormous amount of food this year. But in order to receive, to be a mekabel, to receive shefa from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know what you have to do? Plant. You have to work the field. Even if God determines that your field should produce, that's totally in you making yourself into a mekabel. You have to be a person who's trying to receive it. So God may determine that you're going to win the lottery, but one eitzah, you probably have to buy a lottery ticket. It's possible. You have to make yourself into a mekabel. What is tefillah? That's all just al derech mashal. What is tefillah? So to receive something good, im lo yachin ha'adam atzmo lekabel ha'shefai hinei hu amoneya tov me'atzmo. You have to prepare yourself to receive that good. Davening is the way that I am preparing myself to be the kind of person that's now ro'oi to receive the good that God determined I should get. Just like if you don't plant your field, the food's not going to, nothing's going to grow from it. If you don't buy the lottery ticket, you're not going to win the lottery. If you don't daven, so you're not going to be the kind of mikabel to receive from Hashem. What about bad things? So here Sefer HaYikarim says, bad things is for, it's a very beautiful insight. The Ribbono Shel Olam goes there, something bad is going to happen to you. What was the gzeira? Something bad is going to happen to you, ba'asher husham. That where you are at right now, you are deserving of something bad. What does tefillah do? Tefillah is not changing the Ribbono Shel Olam or what the Ribbono Shel Olam thinks per se. You know, change my mind. Tefillah is changing who I am. So I'm no longer the person that's deserving or worthy of that punishment. I'm no longer the person worthy of that tzara. As a result of davening, I have more zechuyos now. I'm placing myself somewhere else. If before davening, 1-100, let's say I'm a 14, and as a 14, my gili, certain punishments. So as a result of davening, so now I'm going to be a 16. And as a 16, I'm no longer deserving of those punishments. What that does, Sefer HaYikarim teaches us, davening has the ability to alter where we are located. That allows us to receive more good, Now I can get the good that God wants to give me. It allows me to avoid receiving bad, because now I am a new person. There's two ways of saying that. You could theoretically go from there. I want to reference the first one quickly and develop the second one. The first one is lav dafka din davening. Any additional mitzvos, theoretically, can position me differently. That if I'm in a bad place, I'm a 14th, so if I give a lot of tzedakah, I'll become a 16th. If you learn a lot of Torah, you'll become a 16th. And the effectiveness of tefillah is that tefillah is also a mitzvah. And tefillah is also a zechus. And it's a way of getting from 14 to 16. But pashtus, it's more than that. Tefillah may be, and you have one or two mitzvahs like this also, tshuvahs like this. Tefillah may be at its best, though, and he even connects to tshuva a little bit. Tefillah may be the best way for me to change. The best way to alter who I am, my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, to become a mekabel, and to alter where it's at. In order to do that, though, I think davening looks very different. In order to do that, davening has to look a little bit different. Because if my davening is fundamentally working by a request, so the power and strength of davening is going to relate to the effectiveness of your request. How good of a request did you make? How strong was it? How effective was it? When Chazal speak about how you're marbe b'tefillah, you daven a lot of times with a lot of requests, I'll be in a better position. For the Sefer HaYikarim, the effectiveness of my tefillah, again, sometimes Hashem says no because there are chesbonos beyond our understanding. It's a different discussion. But the effectiveness of my tefillah at its core is going to be based not on anything other than what has the tefillah done to me? How has the tefillah altered me? Am I as a result? Now I have to ask, because some of that also impacts me. It helps me realize, we'll see in the Maharal, he goes, I think, in this direction but with a bit of a nuance, how much I'm dependent on Ribbono Shel Olam. But it changes who I am. Tefillah has the capacity to, I can change myself. It means every time that I daven, what I'm trying to think about and experience davening-wise, and this is not my area, but hopefully a point of chizuk, but for us to relate to davening as a means of change. I think we've all seen that sometimes. Many of us may have experienced that. You have sometimes, it's a very special tefillah, where it's a tefillah that really, it can impact us a little bit. Sometimes it's a tefillah. I'll give just two examples where you see it sometimes. Three. One time, sometimes you see it, you know, Rachmana Litzlan, if a person's experiencing a certain tzara, a person can really get into davening, where they really are experiencing, there's a certain tzara in their life that there, it doesn't have to be a major tzara, I think that they're really, really, that davening can also transform them. It can transform you a little bit. You leave in a different place. A Yomim No'raim davening, part of the impact of a good Yom Kippur is a result of the kind of tefillah that I have. It's a tefillah where sometimes you feel, not that we have that orientation always, but you can feel afterwards, that was a tefillah that impacted me. A time you see it for people in the stage of life in which you are at. Sometimes you have that, I don't know if we're aware of this tefillah, and we should be sensitive when this happens to us not to look around. But sometimes a person's last tefillah before they are leaving Eretz Yisrael to go back to Chutz La'aretz. It's a powerful tefillah sometimes. It's a powerful tefillah. Sometimes because I'm going into an unknown and I want to prepare. It's a new stage in life and it's always a big deal. And then it's because it's Eretz Yisrael. And it's powerful to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's a beautiful thing to be in the land of Israel. And to daven with that, davening has that capacity. But a major shift, say for Ikarim, davening has the ability to change where we're at. Davening can change where we're at. We can't change Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Kook, the beginning of Rav Kook's Siddur, he talks about that. Davening is not changing Hashem, God forbid. Sefer Yikarim explains davening is the ability to change us. The Maharal in the Sif HaAvoda, and I have on the sheet three different Maharals. I think if you put them together, you get an important idea. But the Maharal in the Sif HaAvoda in Perek Beis has the Kasha. Maharal has the Kasha, and let's try to go from there. Yeshol Imal Tefillah, Sefer Yikarim's Kasha. What's davening doing? What's davening doing? Im roya adam shitin Hashem yisbarach, if you're deserving of it, lama lo yitin elav belo tefillah, God, give me that davening. And if I don't get it, if I'm not deserving of it, so don't give it to me. What's davening going to do? So the Maharal It's interesting because it's the first Maharal we're really quoting where he's not working off of a Maimar Chazal directly. We've been trying to point out that the Maharal's Hashkafa comes so much from Chazal and a certain kind of reading of Agadata, a certain kind of precise reading. This is not, but it's a very classic Maharal idea. And then he does, later on, connect it more to different Agadatas. Aval Davar Zeh. The Maharal is a system, and the system is not that easy to always understand. I'm going to present it the way I understand it. I'm going to try to present it also in a way that I think can give us a little bit more meaning. And the Maharal is dealing with a second question also, which we referenced earlier, why the speech part of it? Why is the dibor at all significant? Why not daven quietly? So the Maharal writes like this. What is davening at its core? Davening at its core, aval davar zeh ki hatfila hi lehashlim es ha'adam ma shehu chaser. Step number one. Davening is man being completed, the completion of man. Right now man is chaser, and davening is being mashlim. The way davening works, right now I am an adam chaser, I'm missing something, and tefillah helps me be mashlim that. So let's understand and let's dig a little bit. What's tefillah doing? Number one, the Maharal understands this. We spoke about in one of the Machshava Parsha Shirim, I think from Bereishis when no one was there. The Unkelus writes very, very famously, Ruach b'mala, what makes man, it's a big question in Bali Machshava, what makes man different than animals? The question amongst like secular, nowadays you have that question also, as far as what makes man unique. What makes man unique, the Maharal assumes, from Targum Unkelus, it's quoted in many Rishonim, is man's ability to speak. What makes you an Adam is speech. The definition of tefillah is that you are an Adam chaser, and tefillah is trying to be mashlim that. I have to speak because that's what makes me, I'm not an Adam chaser if I don't verbalize it. Because speech is what makes me human. So I have to speak because I want to approach Hashem. Davening is me approaching Hashem as a human, as a person who's lacking something. How do I best show that I'm a person who's lacking something? When I verbalize that which I'm lacking. That's the unique capacity of man. So I approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, verbalizing, Hashem, I'm missing something in my life. Hashem, there's something that I'm lacking. Okay. V'yas Hashem yisparach shomei tefilas uvakasha. And Hashem's going to hear your tefillah and your bakasha. V'adam hu nechshav adam mitzad hadibor. You need the speech in order to get there. What happens now as a result? When I approach Hashem as an adam chaser, this is what the Baruch Shalom wants. Right now I don't have something. Right now there's a gezerah that I'm not worthy of something. So what changes as a result of tefillah? Am I deserving or not deserving? What changes is my relationship to Hashem, and that's where things are going to shift. What allows me to receive good from God? What allows me to receive good from the Ribbono Shel Olam and prevent me from receiving bad? When I realize that I am more dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. We spoke about this as far as Avas Hashem. The Maharal, a major theme of the Maharal is man's dependency on God. That Ava is my losing myself in the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're recognizing the extent which God controls things. Tefillah, the Maharal writes in the Sif Avoda there in Perek Dalet, source number 10, tefillah is an act of dveikas. Tefillah is me connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's happening when I daven? What's happening? Let's put it all together. I'm approaching Hashem as someone that's lacking something. I'm missing something. What does davening come along to do? What davening does is davening allows me to realize that I need Hashem, to then connect to Hashem. And says the Maharal, when you are connecting to Hashem, when I realize the extent to which I'm taloy in Ribbono Shel Olam, so now I'm able to receive much more good. God is the source of good. God's providing good things for us. When I'm with the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm more protected. I'm given a certain level of protection. If you're holding in the Moshe Weinberger story, I know the shepherd. I'm one with the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm with the Ribono. I can feel that protection. And therefore, the act of tefillah works as follows. I believe this is pshat in the Maharal. And let me just say it out. I approach Hashem as a person who's missing something. I have to speak. That's what shows. I'm a person. I am a person. I'm of a darga, and I'm really missing something. Verbalizing it even clarifies the extent to which it's real. When you don't say it sometimes, it's not as real. When you verbalize it, that's what really brings it out a little bit. When you say it, that's my... It's like Mashal Mahadavar Doma. I think, if I can misquote over Hutner, when you say to a girl, I love you, you're going on very serious, you say, I love you, that's a whole new darga than the fact that you may have thought it beforehand. The saying it, sometimes it brings it out in a much more powerful way. Verbalizing that I'm missing something and I need something and I'm lacking an Adam Chaser. Right now I don't have it. And right now, maybe I'm not deserving of it. What does tefillah do? Tefillah allows me to become more dependent on Ribono Shel Olam, and to, in the Dveikus way, become more one with the Ribono Shel Olam. Become more one with Hashem. And when you're one with Hashem, Muchan Lekabel Hashlama Minah, then you can receive from Hashem something which will allow you to be more complete. That's why I have to be able to articulate it. Because now I'm really going to be able to get there. It's about tefillah is, for the Sefer HaYikarim, say this, for Tofas Yontif, tefillah is me asking Hashem, please let my zchuyos change mazel. It is a request of the Ribono Shel Olam. For the Sefer HaYikarim, again, this is how I read it. For Sefer HaYikarim, tefillah is about me changing me. I'm becoming a different person. For the Maharal, tefillah is an act of transforming my relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. And the more that you're dependent on Ribono Shel Olam, the more that you're connected to Ribono Shel Olam, the more that those bad gezeiros are going to fall away, because I'm nitla bo yisbarach. I'm totally in Ribono Shel Olam. The more that I can receive good, because now I'm a kli, that's mekabel. I can now receive more good from Hashem because I have much more of a relationship with Hashem. It is me changing me, but not from a 14 to a 16, but from more distant to closer. More distant to increasingly close. The Maharal in Perek Gimel in the Sefer Avoda writes about that. That's why tefillah is avoda shebelev. It's avoda she'ein de nikra avoda, ki... Yira is not called Tefillah Moresh Adam Nitla Bo Yisbarach Vu Yisbarach HaKol Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo HaKol. Tefillah is in Avoda. What makes Tefillah in Avoda? Because it really is directly me making myself increasingly tully in Ribono Shel Olam. It's not about an awareness. It's a real kind of worship of realizing the extent to which I feel Tefillah Hi Avoda Gemura El Hashem Yisbarach. It's a powerful form of worship. And now I'm totally in Ribono Shel Olam. The Maharal there in Perek Dalel talks about it. That's why Makom Kavua is so significant. Makom Kavua is so significant because for tefillah to really, what's tefillah about? A closeness and a dependency on the Ribono Shel Olam. You can't do that haphazardly. You can't sometimes have a really close relationship, sometimes not have a close relationship. You can't sometimes show up and then suddenly be as close and as tight as you'd like. It's still better to show up sometimes than never. But ideally, tefillah, makom kavua, tefillah is a kvius. Tefillah is dveikus. Tefillah is me recognizing I'm tully in Ribono Shel Olam. And if I'm tully in Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to be all the more close, all the more dependent, all the more shayach to Hashem. That's what a person has has the ability to have. L'kach roi shi ha-dveikus hazeh shlob mikra klal. V'al zeh ba'as hara shikva makom tefillaso. The inyan kviyas hamakom tefila mibne kviyas hamakom mora she'ena tefilas ol b'mikra ke mikra ain lo kviyas. It's not in a kviyas klav ain't a dveikus be'etzem. It has to be something which is very very close. Something which is very very close. Dveikus is always permanent. It's never temporary. Please. This is the Maharal? Okay. Oh, perfect. Great. The tefillah b'makom karbano, it's also in Nisiv Avodah. Okay, the tefillah is b'makom karbanos. It's Gemara Brachos on Chavav there. Tefillah, can I get avos or can I get karbanos? What's pshatilas, can I get karbanos? So karban is less than karov, to get closer. Tefillah is also an act of getting closer. That's what tefillah, it's not just changing us from raising our level, like say for Ikarim, but changing our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's call us what we said and try to just elaborate a little bit. Well, what we've seen is as follows. We opened up with a very powerful question. What are we doing when we daven? What am I doing when I ask for something? Be that in formal davening or informal davening. It's definitely nice to get a little bit of I see this with my grandmother, you know. The tefillah which takes place, not only in formal tefillahs, is a very powerful kind of tefillah and dependency on the Ribbono Shel Olam. But how does it work? If I deserve it, I'll get it. I don't deserve it, I won't. I'm not going to get it. So what's tefillah doing? Tovas Yontif, tefillah is giving me the ability. I'm asking Hashem Yisbarach, can my zechuyos please change my mazel? Can they change what nature determines should happen for me? It is a request to Hashem. Can you please allow this to change what should happen? For Sefer Ikarim, tefillah is me trying to change myself. The experience of tefillah should ideally be an experience which is transformative. That I leave tefillah in a better place. I'm bigger now because I davened. I'm bigger now because I davened. I feel better about myself as a result of davening. And that probably really alters the way that we daven. Part of my davening is me reflecting upon myself. Part of davening is me attempting to work on things so that I can be in an even better place. For the Maharal, davening is really about my attempt at recognizing that right now there's something missing. That's why I'm davening. There's something missing, something I would like in my life that's not right there. I'm davening for something. And tefillah is the act of me recognizing, of me trying to get closer to Hashem. Right now I'm an Adam Chaser. Adam Chaser. I'm verbalizing that even. And what I'm trying to do is get that Hashlama. I want to get closer to Hashem, realize I'm Tuloy in Hashem, and a person who's able to do that, so now my davening is going to be in a different place. What this also does is transforms a little bit our attitude in davening. It's not about the effectiveness of the request. It's not about how much davening changes me as a person to become bigger and better. It's about davening as an opportunity to get closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Tefillah at its core is Amida Lifnei Hashem, standing in front of Hashem. And tefillah is an attempt, and as you formulate requests, part of what I'm trying to do for the Maharal is not think about how I'm changing myself or necessarily the appropriateness of the request, but one important nekuda behind that request. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge. That Hashem controls things. He's the one I'm turning to at that time. And when I'm making that request in a Rifa'enu, in a Baruch Aleinu, or in a Veli Rishalayim Ircha, what I'm davening for is what there is the understanding that Hashem is really the one who's in control. And that's part of what I want to think about is I'm turning to Ribbono Shel Olam because he's the right one to go to. And the Dveikus is not like a, obviously we still like assume it's not unnecessary to point out, we still go to doctors and we still have, you know, the Hishtadlus piece is not for now, but there's certainly a degree of dependency that a person has on the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is very, very powerful. We daven a lot. We daven a lot. A lot of time every day is spent davening. We want to try to make sure, again, we try in these shiurim, especially now using the Maharal, talk about fundamental things in Yadas, but to give us increased understanding. We spend a lot of time davening. What we want to try to do, all of us, I believe, is to maximize that, and understand why we're doing it. And those two things often go hand in hand. When you understand why we're doing something and how it works, it becomes more meaningful, and we can approach it differently. We're sitting there in shul anyway, and we're davening. So think about the effectiveness of our request. To use davening as an opportunity for personal growth. To use davening as an opportunity to realize a certain sense of dependency in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and a certain attempt at getting closer to Hashem. As a result of tefillah, is something which is incredibly, incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable. And if we're able to do it well, so Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, may all of our tefillos be answered, and the ultimate tefillah, which we bzofet to the Bias Goel Tzedek Shchayach.